Sin is a captive, it binds and it holds. Satan will try to abolish your soul. There's only one hope for your destiny, and that one hope is found when you're down on your knees. When I knelt, the blood fell. Sin lost the battle, the Lamb had prevailed. What made all hell tremble? After the resurrection, Jesus went to the throne, presented his sacrifice to God alone. Father, it is finished, he proclaimed as heaven cheered. This blood is for all nations, for their redemption, free and clear. When I knelt, the blood fell. Sin lost the battle, the Lamb had prevailed. What made all hell tremble?
Well, thank you, Brother Ingram, and I appreciate those of you that were helping him hit those high notes there. I like to watch folks when people sing, they get that high note, they know when it's coming around again, and they get prepared, because I saw some of you kind of raise up a little bit. Come on, help me now. And so, Brother Ingram, you got up there because they helped you out. I saw some of them get up in their pew here and help you get up there. Well, isn't it great to be alive and in church and just to come and have an opportunity to open the Word of God and just let God speak to us. So let's take the Word of God this morning, open it up to Luke chapter 16. Luke chapter 16, we're going to read the first four verses of Luke chapter 16. Luke 16 and just the first four verses. All right, let's stand together out of love and respect for the Word of God. Jesus speaking, the Scripture says, "And he, the Lord, said also unto his disciples, there was a certain rich man which had a steward, and the same was accused unto him," and I want you to notice this, "that he had wasted his goods. And he called him and said unto him, how is it that I hear this of thee? Give an account of thy stewardship, for thou mayest be no longer steward. Then the steward said within himself, what shall I do? For my Lord taketh away from me the stewardship, I cannot dig. To beg I am ashamed. I am resolved what to do, that when I am put out of the stewardship, they may receive me into their houses." Now I want you to go back, if you would, in this story that Jesus is telling here. Said there was a rich man that had a steward, and I want you to notice that someone had come to the rich man and accused the steward of being wasteful, of wasting his goods. May I say to you today that if we were all honest with ourselves, most of us waste a lot of things that have been afforded to us. And I think if by the end of our life, if we'll go back and review, I think we'll see that we wasted a lot of things. And so I want to take these few verses this morning and I want to preach to you on the subject of waste management. Waste management. Father, would you bless our time together, and what a great day it is to be alive. Thank you for your goodness. This is the day that the Lord hath made. We're to rejoice and be glad in it. And so, Father, we're grateful to be in church. Thank you for the Word of God. And now, Holy Ghost of God, move among the hearts of the people here today. And that you would do your work as you promised that you would, convict hearts. And, Lord, save people that need to be saved. Believers that need to get right, that today would be that day that they'd rededicate themselves to Christ. And we'll give all the glory and praise to thee, for it's in the wonderful name of Jesus we ask it. Amen. You can be seated. Have you ever taken just a few minutes of time to think about why you and I are allowed of God to exist? Have you ever thought about why God just even allows you to even be alive? You say, well, what is His purpose? Well, God does have a purpose for your life. And listen, how many times have we meditated on that purpose in life? And what you have accomplished with the talents and abilities that you've been gifted by God. And by the way, everybody in here has some talents and some abilities. So don't ever say, well, I don't have anything to offer. Oh, yes, you do. Yes, you do. Everybody's got something they can offer back to the Lord. Now, when your health begins to deteriorate and your mind begins to go and you're unable to work anymore, but the only thing you and I will be able to do one day is spend time at home or spend the rest of our lives maybe in an assisted living facility, my question is, what's going to occupy your mind? You know, you have a lot of time to think. Now, how many of you like to think? You just like to go somewhere and think. Boy, this week my wife and I had an opportunity to just get away from the city, get back up in the mountains where the creeks are flowing, where the wildlife's just running all around you, and there's not a whole lot of people. And boy, you know what you can do when you just sit on a rock by a creek early in the morning? You can do a lot of thinking. And I thought about a lot of things this past week. I thought about my life this past week. And I came to the conclusion that, you know what? I've wasted a lot of things in my life. You know, when you have an opportunity to sit back and think, well, what occupy your mind when you're incapacitated and all you can do is you can't physically do anything anymore? Will it be business that occupies your mind? Will it be how much money that you've made or what you've got stored away? Will this be what occupies your mind? Will it be all the material possessions that you've accumulated or the education that you've been allowed to get and acquire? Will your success, your money, and all your possessions be able to give you renewed health or restored mind? I don't think so. Will things be able to bring you peace and joy at the end of your life? No. You see, once we get to the end of our life, is all the partying we did before we got saved, the immorality that we participated in, the riotous living that we seem to enjoy, the abuse of our body that we put our body through. Hey, are all of those at the end of our life when we're sitting in an assisted living place, or maybe we're in just a few hours from death, are those the things that we're going to boast about? About all the wonderful all-night parties that we were at? I have a tendency that's probably not what's going to be on your mind. I think probably what's going to be on most of our minds as we start whittling away at life, we start reminiscing. Let me tell you how I know this. Many of you, particularly young people, you go to grandma and grandpa's house. You know, when you go to grandma and grandpa's house, you know one of the things they like to do? They like to get out the pictures. Amen. You know what I'm talking about? They like to get out the pictures, or they like to get out the films and show you about all the things that have happened in life. You know what they're doing? They're reminiscing. They're thinking about the things that have gone on in their life. The older you get, the more you think that way. The older you get, the more you begin to reminisce about those things of your life that you've wasted in life. You see, think of all the money that we spend on those vices that have given you and I no joy and nothing but heartache. Let me ask you, was it worth it? Do you know I can take you to Arlington Memorial Hospital? I can take you just about any hospital in this area and walk you through areas of the hospital where people have abused themselves and ask them, is it worth it? Is it worth the abuse that you put your life and your body through to end up like this? Hey, may I say to you in Scripture, if you're a born-again believer this morning, go read Scripture about the lives of somebody like Cain and ask him if what he went through and took the life of his own brother, if it was worth it. The Bible said he became a vagabond because of it, because he rejected the Lord's offering. I wonder if we could interview Samson this morning. He stood right here and say, listen, was all the partying worth it, sir? You know, he ended his life with his eyes gouged out and in prison. Think it was worth it? I think he'd give a little bit different testimony. I wonder about David, if he could stand here today and about all his immorality and all the foolish decisions he made and saw his family disintegrate right before his very eyes. I wonder if he'd say, you know what? It was all worth it. I think he'd give us a little bit different testimony. Solomon, wisest man that ever walked the face of the earth outside the Lord Jesus Christ. He was a wise man. The problem was he married many women, strange women, the Bible says. He had 1,000 wives. He's out of his mind. But you know what those wives did, those strange women did? They led his heart away from God, and Solomon died an idolater. Hey, let me ask you, if he had to come here today and stand here today, I wonder if he would give you a testimony and say, it was all worth it. How about Achan? He could have gone in and lived a nice, productive life. But when the walls of Jericho fell, the command was, nobody takes anything. Achan disobeyed God. Went in and took things for himself. Hid them in his tent. What little things that he had, did he really think that was going to be enough for retirement? Did he really think that that was going to be enough that was going to sustain him for the rest of his life? God pointed him out. You know what it cost Achan? His life, his wife's life, and the life of his children. I wonder if he stood here today and gave a testimony. I wonder if he'd say, you know what? That little bit of gold, those little bit of garments that I got, that little bit of silver, it was worth it all. To lose your life and see your family disintegrate and suffer. I wonder if Ananias and Sapphira stood here today out of Acts chapter 5 who held back on the offering of God. I wonder if they'd say, boy, I'll tell you one thing, it was sure worth dying for that. Having to face God backslidden. Having to face God out of the will of God. You see, these people, if they stood here today, would say, you know what? We wasted things in our life. And they paid for it because they wasted them. But may I say, on the other hand, if you go and read the totally opposite of people's lives, you can read in Scripture about the lives of men like Jacob, Joseph, Moses, Joshua, Elijah, Elisha, about ladies in the Bible, Deborah, Hannah, Mary Magdalene, and you know what you'll find? Yes, there were some regrets in their lives, but once they turned their life over to God, they walked the straight and narrow way. And I imagine today that if Joseph could stand here and give a testimony, he would say, I didn't understand it all at the first, but let me tell you something, it's worth serving God today. Don't waste your life. Manage your life more carefully because you will pay in the long run if you waste so much of your life. You see, there's a big difference between those who wasted their life and those who worked at their life. You see, folks, with life, there is no second and third chances. You get one shot at God's purpose and will. Then after this, the Bible says, the judgment of your life compared to what God's purpose and will was for your life. Well, with that said, I'll give you a few things to think about. You're going to need your Bible. We're going to turn to several passages of Scripture in just a moment. But what do you think is the one thing that we waste in life the most? I imagine that most of you in here could preach this message I'm going to preach because it's real simple. Because probably the thing in life that we waste the most is time. We waste more time than anything that we waste in life. Take your Bible, if you would, go to Ephesians chapter 5. Remember in the story, Jesus said there was a rich man that had a steward and he was accused that he had wasted his goods. In other words, he was being accused of being a waster. He hadn't managed his time very well. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse number 6. Ephesians chapter 5. Let me look there. That's not the verse I'm after. Here's what the Scripture says. I'll just quote you. The Bible says that you know what we're to do? We're to redeem the time, for the days that we're in are evil. We're to redeem the time that we're in. In other words, we can buy back the time. We can purchase back the time. You say, how do we do that? We simply do something to redeem the time we've wasted. Do something that's positive for God. We waste time. Think about this. If you had back all the time that you wasted on things that didn't matter, I wonder how much life you'd have in return. If you gathered back all of the wasted time and gathered it, and God allowed you to gather it all back, I wonder how many more years you would have of extended life. I think we could probably say for most of us, some of us may have a year, some of us may have 2 years, some of us may have 5 years of extended life because we waste time. You say, how do we waste it? Preacher, first of all, we waste it by living in the past. We waste time by living in the past. Hey, everybody in agree you can't change what's already happened? It's already done. You can't change it. But yet, how many times do we revisit it over and over again? Listen, this morning, if you're a child of God, can I say that's already been put under the blood of Christ? Amen. You say, but I don't want to hear that anymore. It's already paid for. That has already been forgiven. Amen. Why do we revisit it over and over again? Why do we want to be miserable? That's all that happens when we stay and visit the past. It's wasted time. May I say also, not only is it wasted time to live in the past, it's wasted time to worry about the future. Folks, I got some good news for you this morning. I've already read the book. I know what the future holds. I don't need a crystal ball. I don't need any cards. I don't need anything. Listen, I already read the book, and you know what it says? It says Jesus is coming back. And if you've been born again, you're already on the winning side. You've already won. Okay, we've already won. We just hadn't collected the victory yet. We're already won. I already know what the book says. You see, it's wasted time to worry about the future. But man, I tell you one thing. Some people have the art of worrying perfected. My mom used to call us kids because we'd worry about this. And she used to use the term worry wart. She said, man, y'all just nothing but a worry wart. Now, what I'm saying is, you know what she was saying? She said, listen, you're concerned about something in the future that you can't control the past. And you know what? You can't control the future either. I can't control what's going to happen. You see, what I'm saying is we waste time. Let me tell you another thing we waste time on. We waste time trying to figure God out. Listen, people spend their entire lives trying to figure out God. And you know what they do? After it's all said and done, they die. And you know what they figured out? Nothing. They have not figured out God. You cannot figure out God. I don't know why God does some of the things that He does. But I know this. that as a child of God and you love God and you're serving God, all things will work together for good to them that love God, to them that are called according to His purpose. I don't know the process. I don't know why He does what He does, but I know this. I know He's working it out for good in your life if you're a child of God and you're loving God and walking with God. Don't waste time living in the past or worrying about the future or trying to figure God out. Can I address just some personal things with you quickly about this thing of wasting time? Can I address mamas and daddies for just a moment? Mamas and daddies, we waste time on ourselves instead of investing time in our marriage. Amen. Hey, folks, last time I checked, when we got those of us that are married and we made those vows to each other, those vows that we made to each other was for better or for? You said, boy, sure has been a lot worse lately. Yeah, but look back on it. Can I say to you, if you look real close, there's been a lot of better also. It's just that we tend to focus on the worst part. For better, for worse. Oh, listen now, for richer, for? You see, what I'm saying, you say, well, man, when is this richer thing going to come along in life? Well, first of all, can I say you live in a free country? That's pretty rich. Hey, most of us in here this morning, we didn't walk here. Most of us have a car. You know, that's pretty rich. You know, most of the country don't even own a car. Most of us, when we leave here today, we'll go to a place where there's AC. We got a nice, well, some of us, a nice soft bed to rest in at night. You say, oh, that's not rich. Compared to most of the world, it is. What I'm saying to you, mamas and daddies, if we're not careful, what happens is we focus on ourselves and all of a sudden it becomes all about us. And we forget about our marriage relationship. We forget about till death do us part. We forget about for richer, for poorer, for better, for worse. In sickness and in health. My wife and I have been married 32 years. Some of you here in this room have been married over 50 years. You know, the older I get, the more I think about that in sickness and in health. Yeah, sure do. And may I say too, when I made a vow to my wife, I made the vow and I'm going to keep it. You see, because when I made that vow to God, and I made that vow to her. You say, well, what if she gets sick tomorrow and's in the hospital for the rest of her life? Then you know what? For better, for worse, for richer, for poorer, in sickness and in health. Can I ask you this? Did God already know all this was going to happen before I even made the vow? Okay. I'm just checking, just want to make sure I'm online here. You see, God already knew all this was going to happen. You see, mamas and daddies, we need to give attention to our marriage. May I say, we need to give attention to our children. We need to train them up in the way that they should go. Be it this, you say, train them to do what? How about just be a good citizen? How about train them up to be a good citizen? Be obedient. You see, we need to focus, mamas and daddies, on the things, we waste too much time. We need to teach our children to be good citizens, abide by the law. How about this innovative idea? How about be responsible for your own choices? Mamas and daddies, can I just say something right here? I'm not trying to jump on anybody's case here. I'm just saying, you know what? Sometimes we bail our kids out way too much. We don't allow them to suffer the consequences of their choices. And if we rescue them all the time, guess what happens? They never learn. And then all of a sudden, now they're 25 years old, they're still making the same choices, and guess what they're going to expect you to do? Come get them. They're going to expect you to come and rescue them all of their life. Now, what I'm saying, mamas and daddies, it's not just about us. If we bring children into the world, it's about them as well. We need to teach them to be good citizens, abide by the law, be responsible for their own choices. Oh, listen to this. How about accept correction and discipline? Listen, folks. You know why we've got adults today throwing a fit? Because and can't receive correction and can't receive discipline today in our lives is because we refused to receive it when we were little. And mamas and daddies, if we don't teach our children to receive correction and discipline when they're young, let me tell you something, they're going to have a hard time in life, because the first time the boss tells them no, you know what they're going to do? Now, let me tell you something. You know what the boss can do? Well, you can just take that onto the house. Here's your pink slip. You can take that with you. Now, wait a minute. And then what happens on the way out? They badmouth the boss. Because now it's the boss's fault. Right? It's the boss's fault because he fired them because they threw a fit. Say, is this Sunday morning? Yeah, it's Sunday morning. I'm just saying, we're waste time. And folks, we only have just a small window of opportunity. Mamas and daddies, listen, we waste time on ourselves. We leave out our marriage. We forget our children. We forget about building the all-American Christian home. No wonder America is in the shape that it's in, because we've neglected our homes. Hey, America's only going to be as strong as the family is. America's only going to be as strong as the home is. And may I say, the church is only as strong as the families that make up that church. You see, mamas and daddies, we waste time on ourselves way, way too much. Husbands and wives, we waste time on ourselves way, way too much. May I say, Christians, we waste time on things that have no eternal value or spiritual returns. Yeah, we waste time investing in things that have absolutely no eternal value and no spiritual returns whatsoever. And you know what? We just shell out that money. Don't even think about it. We'll invest time and money and participate in things. You say, well, like what? Preacher, listen, I'm not against playing Little League. I'm not against playing Pee Wee football. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about investing in things that have no spiritual value to them and no eternal returns. Folks, listen to me. That's the reason it's important. If you're here today and you don't have a church home, you need to find a place to go to church so that you can invest through. Why? Because it's got spiritual returns. It's got eternal value connected with it. Find you a place to go to church. You know what else we're supposed to be doing? We're supposed to be winning souls to Christ. We're supposed to be a testimony. We're supposed to open our mouth and tell people about the saving grace of Jesus Christ. Christians, we waste our time on things of no eternal value, no spiritual returns. If you're here today and you don't know Jesus Christ, a lost man many times will waste time because they think they've got plenty of time. Folks, we don't have plenty of time. You know what we're doing? We're playing roulette with your soul. I hate to use that kind of terminology, but you understand what I'm talking about. Oh, let me get down there. Where about? How about we play spin the bottle with our soul? How about that? You see, what I'm saying is, you know, we waste time. Because we think we got all the time in the world. This past week, or actually last Sunday, right before I left on Monday, I got a call from a young couple I've known for years, led both of them to Christ. His mom passed away about 6 months ago. He called me Sunday afternoon, right before the service, and right before I took off, and he said, Pastor, he said, this is so-and-so. He called his name. And I told him, I said, hey, I hadn't seen you in a while. What's going on? He said, oh, preacher, he said, it's bad. It's really bad. He used the term, he said, preacher, when it rains, it pours. He said, you know, my mom passed away 6 weeks or 6 months ago. I said, yeah. I said, how are you doing? He said, well, I'm not going over there. He said, I'm just calling you, preacher, to let you know my 19-year-old brother was killed in a car accident at Great Southwest and 20 Saturday night. Now, the thing about it, 19 years old, you think you might have thought maybe possibly had time? Probably. You see, some of us at my age at 50, we think we've got time. You see, the thing about it is your deadline is already on God's calendar. You just don't know when it is. And if you're here today without Christ, don't waste time, because you don't know if you've got more time. Can I get personal about preachers? Because I am one. May I say, preachers waste time on trying to build a church instead of ministering to people? Let me say that again so that you understand. You heard me right. I said too many preachers spend too much time trying to build the church instead of ministering to people. Amen. Hey, folks, look around here. You know what? I don't own none of this. This is mine. You say, well, who does? God does. He said, what is your place? I'm just the under-shepherd. That's all I am. I'm just an instrument, a vessel that just, listen, I just say, Lord, whatever you want me to preach, you tell me. Whatever you want me to do, you tell me. I just want to be a minister of Jesus Christ. We waste too much time. Turn, if you would, to Luke 15. Let me give you a couple of others real quick here. I said, first of all, we waste time. We don't manage our time very well, and it's slipping through our fingers. May I say to you, number two, Luke 15, turn there if you would. We don't have time to read the whole story. Remember, there was a certain man that had two sons. Remember this? Yeah, Jesus told the story, said there was a certain man that had two sons. The oldest son actually stayed at home. The youngest son, give me what's coming to me, Daddy. I want it right now. I'm tired of the rules. I'm tired of you telling me what I can and cannot do. I'm tired of all this. Might have even used it. Let me tell you something. When somebody talks, says it, listen, if I'd have said this to my dad, that you would not have a pastor today. He might have said something like this. Give me what's coming to me, old man. Amen. You know what? That's disrespectful. Or call your mom, old woman. If I'd have done that, there'd be a grave in Jackson, Mississippi today. And it would have said something on there, his last words. And it would say, old man, dot, 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 dot. Because that's about all that would be left of me, is a few dots. But this young man took his money and said, give me what's coming to me. He did. And his dad brokenheartedly gave it to him. And I want you to notice, if you would, in Luke 15 and verse number 13. It says, and not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country. And there, what does your Bible say? Wasted his substance with riotous living. I said, first of all, probably the main thing that we waste is time. Number two, the second thing I think we waste is our substance, our possessions, the things that God has allotted us. We waste them. God has afforded us opportunity. Listen, just as I ask, why does God let you live? I must ask, why does God allow you to have what you have? So that we can use it for His honor and for His glory. We waste time and we waste substance. How many of you ever heard of the 80-20 rule? You ever heard of the 80-20 rule? It has been said by smart men that if all the wealth of the world was distributed equally among all the populace of the world, let's say 8 billion, and everybody had the same amount of money, these economists believe that within 1 year, that 20% of the world's population will have 80% of the money. And you know what they're based that on? They base it on foolish spending. Wasting substance. And the thing about it is, people spend, we spend foolishly. You say, how foolishly, preacher, do we spend? I didn't have much time this morning, but I just go ahead and pulled a few facts out. How about this? We spend $20 billion in America a year on perfume and cosmetics. You say, oh, preacher, that's not wasting. Listen to this. Americans spend $350 billion on fitness and diets. Let me go a step further. Americans spend $400+ billion on cigarettes and alcohol. $45 billion. Oh, this one hurts so bad. On hunting and fishing equipment. It just got me right there. Because I really didn't see it as waste. Listen to this. How about $110 billion on fast food? Americans spending that kind of money. And then listen to this. I just went ahead. I went to the Cancer Society website last year. You know how many donations they got for cancer research? $5 billion. $5 billion. Wait a minute now. I said 350 billion on fitness and diets. 110,000 on fast food. Only 5 billion donated to cancer research. Something wrong with this picture. What do you think is more important? A McDonald's double cheese hamburger or somebody finding a cure for cancer? Only 5 billion. Hey, listen to this. Out of all the churches in America, they estimate only 280 billion came in to the churches of all denominations and all sorts. Folks, that doesn't even come close to how much was spent on the vices that people spend money on. So don't tell me we do. We spend wastefully. You say, well, preacher, it's not wasting to me. Well, does it have? Listen, I'm not against hunting and fishing. I said I'm not against hunting and fishing. I'm not against fitness programs or diets. Hey, listen, ladies, I'm not against perfume and cosmetics. And all the ladies said, amen. Hey, I'm not against that. But what I'm saying is, check your checkbook out and find out where you're spending most of your money. See how much is going to the profitable things of eternal value and how many things are going for us. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. You say, oh, preacher, this hurts so bad. It ought to hurt because you know what? Most of us are guilty. Listen, we waste substance on us. We make ourselves, we want to make ourselves so acceptable to everybody else. And ultimately, am I going to have to give an account to everybody else? Not at all. I'm going to give an account to God. We want to make ourselves handsome. We want to make ourselves beautiful. We've gotten to the place now where we not only waste our substance on ourselves, we waste our substance on things. We've got the mentality that he who has the most toys wins. You ever seen that bumper sticker? My question is, wins what? What do you win? How about this? All the possessions. I got a guy. Let's say I got a guy over here. He's collecting all these possessions. I've got a guy over here that surrendered to Christ, and he's winning people to Jesus. He's telling people about Christ. He's giving money to the church. He's sending missionaries across the world. Once it's all said and done, which guy you think is going to come out favorable in the sight of God? We waste our substance. We waste it on ourselves. We waste it on things. We waste our substance, listen now, on unscriptural causes. Everybody okay with feeding the hungry? Okay? You know who the number one organization that feeds more people than anybody in the world? The church.
Amen.
Collectively, the church does. Now listen, I'm not against these other places, but you know what? I'm not going to give my funds to some place that's unscriptural, don't even believe in eternal security. I'm not going to give my money to a place that doesn't even believe or doesn't even know whether they even have the Bible or not. I'm going to give my money to some place that I know that they're doctrinally sound and they are doing the job according to Scripture. I said, first of all, we waste time. Second of all, we waste substance. Here's the last thing. I won't be long here. Third, we waste a life of blessing and joy. You know, when God created Adam and Eve, what did He want for them? Did He want the best? Did He want joy and blessing and happiness and fellowship and relationship? Was that what He wanted? And they messed up. That's all God wanted. He just wanted blessing. He wanted to bless their lives. He wanted to have joy. He wanted fellowship. And may I say that people are spending money in all kinds of areas trying to find happiness and joy. And again, folks, I hope you understand. I'm not trying to hurt anybody's feelings. I'm just telling you. Just go check the facts. All I did was go check the facts. Billions and billions of dollars are being spent on counselors, therapists, medication. All, you know what they're looking for? They're looking for happiness. And after it's all said and done, you know what? Most of them, they don't find it. And they're out thousands and thousands and thousands of dollars. You say, preacher, you believe in medication? Absolutely. I take vitamins myself. I don't guess that's medication. You say, preacher, do you believe in counseling? Absolutely. I do it all the time. Yeah, I believe in it. But my point is, that's not where you're going to find all of the joy and all the blessings and all the happiness. God says, listen, there's only one place and one place only you're going to find joy and happiness. That's in Jesus Christ. That's it. That's it. That's the starting point. You say, well, what about all of those things out there? Listen, folks, I didn't get saved till I was 23. I've been out there. You say, well, can I go see what's in store for me? Wait a minute. Don't go to the front door. Go to the back door where sin spits them out. That's where you want to stand. You want to stand at the back door of sin and watch them come out. Because see, when they go in, you can't tell. But when they come out, you can sure tell. You can tell what sin's done to their life. All I'm saying to you is we waste a life of blessing and joy. Sin, there's no joy and happiness there. You see, God intends for you and I to have joy and blessings, and we're wasting an opportunity that will only present itself once. One time. What are you going to do with that opportunity this morning? If you're here this morning without Jesus Christ, and you die without Jesus Christ, it's death and hell. Forever. Listen to me. I said forever and ever and ever. But if you're here this morning and you know Jesus Christ is to be absent from the body, present with the Lord. But still, waste management. Don't waste your time. Listen, God didn't send you here. If you don't know the Lord this morning, don't leave without Him. Amen. Don't leave without Him this morning. He sent you here. He convicted you here. He had somebody invite you to come to church so that you could hear exactly what you heard this morning. Don't leave home. Don't leave the church without Jesus Christ. We waste time. We waste substance. But listen to me. Don't waste the blessings and joy of the Christian life this morning. Would you bow your heads with me? Every head bowed, every eye closed. How many can say this morning, preacher, I'm a born-again believer? No question about it. If Jesus came back today or I died, I'd forever be with the Lord. I want you to slip your hand way up high and say, that's me, not ashamed of it. I'm a born-again believer, no question about it. I know it. All right, God bless you. You can put your hands down. Now, Father, we're thankful for the privilege of being in church today. Thank you for the opportunity that we have to come and just enjoy being around the fellowship of other believers. But, Father, there might be some here today that deep in their heart, they do not know Jesus. I pray that today would be that day. That today would be the day that they would come to that saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. Oh, Spirit of God, would you move in such a way among the people here today that those that do not know the Lord, that you would convict them in their heart. That, Lord, you would so work in them that they would have such a desire to know the Lord and know the blessings and joy of being a born-again believer. Father, there are some this morning, we've wasted time in our lives. We've wasted substance. We cannot go back and change those things in the past, and there's no sense in worrying about those things in the future. What we've got to be concerned about right now is what's going on in the present, what's going on in our life right now. Because every minute, every second that ticks by, we will give an account for before an almighty God. And I pray, Lord, if there are some here today that have wasted time or wasted substance today, they would come and rededicate that to Christ. Now, with heads bowed and eyes closed, no one's looking around. I wonder if there might be a few people here today that would say, preacher, while you're preaching, I've kind of searched my heart, and I cannot honestly say that I've been born into the family of God. Nobody's ever taken the Bible, opened it up, and explained to me clearly how to be saved. I want to be, though, and I've thought about it. Now, maybe you've got some doubt about where you're going to spend eternity, and you say, preacher, I need prayer. How many this morning would let me pray for you by the uplifted hand? Nobody's looking but me. I want you to slip your hand way up high and say, preacher, that's me. I don't know for sure that heaven's my home. God bless you. You can put your hand down. Anybody else say, preacher, I don't know for sure that I've been born into the family of God. No one's ever taken time to show me. I have some doubt about where I'm going to spend eternity. Just slip your hand way up high. Anybody else will join this one? There's two. Who will join these two? There's three. Who will join three? There's three. Who will be the fourth one? Just slip it up. Let me pray for you. Slip it up. Slip it up. Slip it up. Anybody else? God bless you. There's four. Anybody else? Say, preacher, that's me. Anybody else? Anybody else? All right. Now, with heads bowed, eyes closed, how many are here today? Say, preacher, I've already been saved. I'm a born-again believer, but for whatever reason, I never got baptized after I got saved. I know it's the right thing to do. It's what the Bible tells me to do. And would you pray for me? I need to take care of that bit of business for God. I want you to slip your hand way up high. Say, preacher, pray for me. I need to obey God. God bless you and you. You can put your hands down. Say, preacher, I know it's the right thing to do. I know it's the right thing. Who joined these two? Say, preacher, I've already been saved, never been baptized. I know it's the right thing to do. Anybody else? Well, join these two. Then one last thing. How many are here today? Say, preacher, I've got to be honest with you. I've wasted some time and wasted some substance in my life. I know I can't go back and change it, but would you pray that God will give me the ability and strength to put it in the past and look to the future at what God has in store for me now as a believer? How many say, preacher, I have wasted time, I have wasted substance, but would you pray that God will give me the ability and strength to put it in the past and put it under the blood of Christ and look to the future? How many are like that? Slip your hand way up high and say, would you pray for me, preacher? Just slip it up, slip it up, slip it up, slip it up. All right, all over the auditorium. You can put your hands down. The Father, we come to you in the name of Jesus this morning, realizing that it's only through the shed blood of Christ that we can be saved. Lord, there were four or five people that raised their hand that needed the Lord. Please, please don't let them leave this morning without following you and obeying you and coming this morning. We'll be glad to tenderly and kindly show them how to be born again. There were several, Lord, that raised their hands, said they need to be baptized. Please, Lord, you sent them here this morning on purpose. We baptize every service at our church. And Lord, I pray that if they're here this morning, they'd not leave without obeying God. They know it's the right thing to do, or they wouldn't lift their hand. Would you move in their heart about being obedient in that area? And then, Lord, there were some that raised their hand that said they'd wasted time and wasted substance, as we all have. But Lord, they sure want to rededicate themselves to Christ this morning. I pray that they would come, fill the altar, rededicate themselves to Jesus this morning. Rededicate their time, redeem the time. And rededicate, Lord, their substance and their possessions and that you've given them. And that they'd rededicate that to Christ this morning. Whatever your will is in this invitation, would you prove it and show it to us this morning in Jesus' name. Now with heads bowed and eyes closed, let's stand to our feet. I'm going to ask the instruments to begin to play. Brother Shaddix is going to begin to sing. Would you come this morning? If you raised your hand, listen, God sent you here for a reason this morning. He spoke to your heart. That's the reason you raised your hand. If you need to be saved, you come. If you need to be baptized, you come. Please don't put it off. Don't put it off. You come. You come. Whatever your need is, you come ahead. If you wasted time or you've wasted substance, you come. Whatever your need is, come ahead. Come on. We'll be glad to pray with you. We'll be glad to do whatever we need to this morning to help you get beyond where you are today. You come. Hey, if you raised your hand this morning and said you need to be born again, this is your opportunity. God's speaking. This is your call. Would you come? You come. Whatever your need is, you come. Listen, folks, if God moved in your heart to raise your hand, don't you think that God wants you to do something about it this morning? Would you move? Would you come?